Okay, so after a little break, I am back with the podcast. Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for sticking around. And maybe if you listen to this, you listen to some previous episodes. I think this is episode 11. The last one was with Downey Live, and we had an in-person interview. This one is just me, myself, talking. And I just come back from Iceland, and I thought I'll get back into it and share some of the tips I have for you guys, because I went winter camping for 2 weeks in a camper van, and I did the whole ring road around Iceland. And I think I did a little Q&A on Instagram, and thought if you have any questions for winter camping, because for me, when I went to Iceland for the first time, I also went in winter, but I stayed in hotels. So I think camping is a little different. And first, when I came in there, when I came to Iceland, I was a little scared, like if I stay warm enough and how is this going to be, because I never really camped in a really cold country in the winter. So that's was the first experience. But I read online that it should be fine. The camper van company that I rented a camper van off said it's going to be warm enough and stuff like that. So yeah, I'll answer some questions, and I'll also tell a little bit about what I did in the 2 weeks and how I liked it, and if I prefer winter camping or is it better to stay in hotels or Airbnbs. But yeah, like I took a little break from the podcast. I'm not sure why, because I think I got super busy, and then I feel like every time you start something new and then like you kind of stop doing it, because at the beginning I did one every week, and then I think I went on a West Coast trail, and then it kind of started for me taking breaks. And then once you take breaks, it's not good. So you have to be consistent. I want to be consistent again, because after this, actually tomorrow I'm going to Costa Rica, so I might do little tips and tricks on Costa Rica after the Iceland one. But yeah, thanks everyone for tuning in again. If you listen to this on Spotify or Apple Music or on YouTube, I started a new YouTube channel where I will share more about like travel and filmmaking, because I have my filmmaking account where I posted some of the other podcasts, but I feel like that's more filmmaking, and I want to have a travel one, which is going to be separate. I do like Airbnb reviews. There's a lot of Airbnb reviews on there already, and then I'm going to share tips and tricks of traveling, and also maybe some cinematic travel films. But yeah, like, so let's get into the podcast. I mean, this was a spontaneous decision to go to Iceland. It was end of February until the beginning of March. I came back yesterday. I'm recording the podcast today. It's super fresh. So I just got home last night, super late. And then this morning at 9 a.m., I'm recording the podcast. So yeah, jet lag is still there. This was a super spontaneous decision to go to Iceland because, yeah, I just thought I want to go on ice. I went in the winter before to Iceland, but I didn't see the Northern Lights that much. I saw them a little bit, and I thought, like, I want to see them again. I want to capture them better. I was there 5 years ago where it was not as touristy yet. I would say it was still touristy, but not from now. When I look back now, there was way more tourists than 5 years ago. So Iceland has grown a lot from, like, a touristy standpoint. But I just wanted to go back and like see what it is and capture it better, because now I have better gear, I have better like experience, and I want to go back and capture it again. And plus, Iceland is so amazing. Like, the landscape is amazing. And actually, that comes to my first questions. I have them written down here. What is my favorite thing about Iceland? I think the most favorite thing about Iceland is just the landscape. You drive, and every 5 minutes the landscape looks different. It's just amazing. And if you're a photographer, a videographer, and even if you're not, like, it's like a dream. Like, it's just so, and because Iceland is so surreal, and it's pretty accessible, like there's tons of flights there now. It's a landscape that I haven't really seen before, because all this volcanic rock, and then no trees. They didn't have any trees. I think they started to plant some of the trees because they want to do something for like the oxygen levels. But it's just like amazing. Like, the landscape is just so different from what I'm used to, and I think that's what draws a lot of people to. There's like volcanoes, there's like these, like the highlands, which is my favorite part, which is unfortunately not accessible in the winter. The highlands are my favorite part. It's like in the center of Iceland, where like you in the mountains, and this is like literally looks like the moon. So yeah, so to answer that question, it's like the landscape, and you kind of still, even if it's really touristy, you're still by yourself a lot, like in the south. So from Reykjavik, I would say a lot of people, they go into the south. I really experienced that while on the winter trip right now. So when you arrive in Reykjavik, there's a lot of tour buses that go to the main spots, with which are in the South Island and close to Reykjavik. And then once you go in the south and once you hit the Glacier Lagoon, which is like there's so many waterfalls and stuff to see on that way. I mean, you can literally stop every like half an hour, 20 minutes, and there's another site, which is amazing to go to. And a lot of tour buses go there, or like a lot of tourists drive, get a car and drive there. And then once you hit the Glacier Lagoon, which is like, I'd say it's like 6 or 7 hours from Reykjavik. Once you hit that, because there's a ring road around the island. It's a paved road and you can go around the whole island, Highway 1, kind of like in Canada. But like once you hit that Glacier Lagoon, everybody just turns around, because there's still stuff in the north, but it's not as dense. And I'd say like the highlights for touristy accessible parts are in the south. So a lot of people just go there and then just go back. And I also agree with that, because in the winter, like I went up and then there's so much stuff to see in the south. And if you're pressed for time, I would just say do the south in the winter. In the north, there's some stuff. Yeah, there's like the second biggest waterfall in Europe, Daddy Foss, which is a really cool waterfall up there. And then there's also some like lava field and hot springs up there. But if you really want to see the much as possible in the closest amount of time, I'd say just do the south and go onto the Glacier Lagoon like everybody does, and again go back. I think it's essential in Iceland to rent a car, because there's like public transport, but like you want to explore in Iceland, you want to like hit up that spot, and even like before the tourists come. So I would strongly suggest to do get a rental car in Iceland. There's tons of companies out there. You can rent them, pick them up right in front of the airport, and then just go and explore right away. The thing about Iceland is it's really like there's not so many people. I think 300,000 or something, in 350,000 in total live in Iceland. And then it's like once you go to like another country where you don't really know what's going on, Iceland is really like straightforward, I would say. So it's also easy to travel, because there's not much around. Like once you out of Reykjavik, there's just like touristy things and like some farms around. So it's really hard. So it's really easy to find like around. But once you like arrive in like in Mexico City, you don't know where to go, because it's so huge and so many people around. Iceland is very different, very easy and accessible. So I think that's also why a lot of tourists go there. So to answer the first question, yeah, definitely get a rental car, and definitely my favorite part is the landscape. And then another question that was coming up a lot, and I'll get into the costs a little later, how much I paid for the 2 weeks, because it was pretty affordable for like 2 weeks of traveling, I would say. But like, yeah, so I got a rental car in the winter. No, not like a rental car. Like it was a van. I hired with the company called Camp Easy. Actually, somebody asked me that. So Camp Easy was the company, but there's also Happy Campers, tons of van companies out there. And I actually was surprised that I've seen a lot of vans on the road, but not so many vans on the campground, I'd say. I guess it stretches out a lot, but I got the smallest version of that they offered, and it was like a Volkswagen Caddy. So it's a really kind of small car, and it's good for two people. I stayed there by myself, but if you're two people, you can fit. But I feel like depending on how much luggage you have, it can get a little tight. Sometimes I was a little annoyed because there's not so much space, but if you're going by yourself, it's totally fine. Like, I think the worst part was like arriving and making the bed. But after I made the bed the first time, you just flip it over, and then I just left it for the whole 2 weeks, because I didn't want to like make the bed every single day, because it kind of is annoying. The downside of that is that you can't really sit inside. I sat in the front seat and ate there. So I made some food in the back and then just ate inside. And I also got like a camping chair, which I never used. So you got the basic model of the camper, and then you can get some add-ons. So I got a camping chair, and you get a gas stove with it. So it's basically this camping stove that you bring backpacking, and you get these gas canisters, and they run out. So you have to, if you stay for 2 weeks, I used two. So if you don't cook, I cooked like almost every day. I think I didn't cook for like 3 or 4 days out of the 2 weeks. But like, I think two is enough, but you have to buy them extra for a small fee. But yeah, you can also add on like a towel. And then you also get like, so the camper. So, okay, let's do this. So the camper comes with like the bed, obviously. You can flip it. You have all the stuff, like, and then the heating is also, everything is included. And it comes with like that camping stove, and it comes with a pot and a pan, and then cutlery and bowls. And like, yeah, everything you need kind of for cooking, for like basic cooking, I would say, because you only have that one spot where you can cook. Like, it's a camp cooker, like, you know, these backcountry cookers where you just, there's one flame and it's just put one pot on. And that's why I basically made pasta for like every day. Not every day, but like, so I switch it up, eating like bread and cheese, and then pasta with tomato sauce. When I cooked, I didn't think I cooked anything else except coffee in the morning. That's what I use it for. And then making pasta. But, you know, like, Eisen is expensive when you eat out. So if you really want to save money, I'll suggest you make some homemade food, I guess. And I mean, like, pasta is not the worst. You can have it like every other day. So, yeah, it comes with that. And then it comes also with. What else did it come with? So the towel I got for free, and then yeah, so like, you, everything you need for cooking and sleeping, like, it comes with like a pillow and sheets and everything. You don't have to bring anything, which is cool. I actually didn't bring any gear for that except like my crampons to walk on the ice, but other than that, I didn't bring any outdoor gear. So everything comes with the van, which is cool, so you don't have to bring extra gear. I also came with like small luggage. I only had like a carry-on and a backpack, so I didn't bring a lot of stuff in the winter, and it lasted for 2 weeks. The campgrounds are usually somewhere, actually, like they say they charge like $10. So the campgrounds are between 10 and 20 euros or US dollars, I'd say. So they're pretty cheap, and some of them are pretty basic. I mean, I say that one, there's one nearly very close to a waterfall, which was one of my favorites, because you can park at the waterfall and you can just wake up with the view on the waterfall, which is amazing. It only had like basic toilets and not much around, but it only cost $10 per night to park there. And some are more like, some have like an indoor area where you can cook in the winter. That might be not a bad thing, because like, you want to, you can also meet new people. If like, I met some Brazilian girls in it was in Ingolstadt year, and then Italian uncle and his nephew, and it's just good to socialize with other campers if you have an indoor area. If you don't really have an indoor area, you can't socialize with anyone really, because everybody just sticks to their camper vans. But yeah, that's most are really basic, especially in the winter. Not every campground is open, but there's actually like a good resource. With the camper, you also get like an iPad, and every spot you go, you can look up. There's like a map, and you can look for camping, and it's also distinguished between summer and winter campgrounds, so you can see which one is open in the winter and which is not, because I feel like 50% are closed in the winter. And then also there is a resource online, which I can link down in the description below on YouTube. This is like Happy Camper. They have made a website, like a map of Iceland, and there you can see all the ones that are blue, they're open in the winter. So yeah, as I said, some of them are really basic, only have like a toilet, and like a sink, whatever, to clean your stuff. And some even only have a toilet, but yeah, it's fine. Like, you don't have to shower every day. This is another question that people asked me a lot, which was like, where do you go to the bathroom and shower? Like, I showered mostly at the campgrounds, and then the cool thing about Iceland is every small village has like a pool, like, you can go to, because they have the thermal water. It's really cheap to go in there, and then you can shower in the pools. if the campground doesn't have a shower. And I said, like, I don't need to shower every day, or you go into a hot spring, you can clean yourself there. Especially in the winter, you don't sweat as much. So I think I showered sometimes. I showered like kind of every day, but sometimes there was like one or two days where I didn't shower and it was totally fine. So yeah, I showered in campgrounds, and really take advantage if you go there of the hot pools in every little village. There are signs, you can find them really easy. And like if you go with Camp Easy, you can also get Wi-Fi with the camper. So I had like Wi-Fi for the whole 2 weeks, and I think it was like $150 on top of that what I paid. And it's just so convenient because you can look up everything on that little iPad, and it tells you where to go. And then you also have Wi-Fi for your phone, and you can use Google Maps to navigate around and find the spots where you want to go. So yeah, so and then like where you go to the toilet, like literally anywhere, like restaurants, campgrounds, gas stations, yeah, or like public toilets, tourist information centers, whatever. You can find the toilet. Like, it's not that hard. Like, I feel like people are too making too much of a deal about it. But because the camper doesn't have a toilet or a shower, it's just like a basic van where you can sleep in, which is fine. And yeah, so this was one of the questions which I can ask a lot: where do you go shower and where do you go to the toilet? But yeah, as I said, you get an iPad with everything, and it's really cool. You can find all the spots, all the campgrounds in the area, and you can also, it also is like has pre-booked or pre-calculated tours. You can see all the sites in the area, so you just click on nearby and you can see the sites in the area, which is super cool. What else do I need to cover? So did I stay warm in that camper? I actually didn't bring a lot of, I brought a winter jacket and I brought some hoodies, and I didn't bring any thermal underwear, because actually like in end of February in Iceland, it's kind of like starting to get, the days get longer again. I think the coldest time in Iceland is like in, because I talked to a tour guide where I did like the ice caves tour with, and he said November, December is kind of like the main season of winter, and that's where it gets the coldest, also the darkest. Like in end of February, the light is out pretty, like it gets, I think the light comes out at 8:30, 9 o'clock, and then sunset is at 7. So you get pretty, a lot of daylight. So if you want to explore as much as possible, don't go in November, December, because the days are really short there. I think it gets, the light comes up at like 10 and it gets dark at 3. So maybe go a little bit later in the summer, in the winter. So like I went end of February, beginning of March, which is a good time. And then some, it was like really warm. Like it was 9 degrees in the south. Actually when I left Iceland, it got really cold. But even in the really cold nights, all the vans have like a heating system. So how it works, it sucks out some of the diesel, really minimal amount. And then you just need a battery, and it's like super warm. Sometimes I had to like turn the heat down, and I was, the first night I was like cranked it up pretty good because I didn't know, but it was so warm. Like even if it was super cold outside, it was actually snowed on the first night. I was super warm. I was hot. So like be assured, it's super cozy in there, and then you get the blanket and the some pillows. That you not be cold. The only thing, the only time I get cold was like when I was outside exploring and it was super windy. Actually when I shot the Northern Lights, which is actually also a cool thing when you have a camper, because when you shoot the Northern Lights, I did like a time lapse. You can just like have the van sitting somewhere and then just like chill in the van while you do a time lapse and be warm while the van is just sitting there, which was one of my favorite things to explore. Let me get a sip of water here because my mouth is getting a little dry. So yeah, warm-wise, you don't have to worry about anything about sleeping, especially like the camper van that I used, like Camp Easy. I think they all have the same, like in Iceland, when in winter camp, they all have the same system. It's a Herbasco. It's a really good, I heard, a really good system, and I can now say that it is good, and so you never be cold. Speaking of the Northern Lights, they were crazy out there when I was there. I was really lucky because I saw them like 4 or 5 days in a row. the first week they didn't come out because the weather wasn't the best. And then I saw like on that iPad thing, you also have like a weather app and you can see like the activity of the, if they're active or not. And then one day where they were 7 out of 10, which was insane. And I said, I have to stay up, but it was kind of cloudy. So I was waiting in that one spot in the south. And it's like, it's so cloudy. And then when you take a picture, you can already see that the sky is green. So you know that they're out, but you couldn't see them through the clouds. But yeah, it was just like, I waited. And then the forecast said there's a slight chance that it clears up for a bit, and it actually did. And so they came out for the first night and I saw them and they were like super bright and I can actually see them with my eyes really, really well. That was the first night. And then I saw them like, I think one day later, because I saw them 4 or 5 days in a row. The night after that, they were crazy. They were like moving super fast and I could see them with my eyes really, really good. Because the first time I was in Iceland, I could see them a little bit with my eyes, but I like more so on the camera. Like if you see pictures, they really like edited the pictures. But this night I was like blown away because they were also like kind of like pink and moving really fast. And I really, really could see them bright with my eyes. I think I never forget that night when that moment, I didn't catch it on camera, but I saw it with my eyes where that one time the sky just lit up and it was literally so bright and like pink and green. It was amazing. And then they came out every single night after that. I was like so tired because, you know, you explore the whole day and then you kind of want to get some rest. But like the Northern Lights, how often do you see them? So you stay up, watch them and take some videos and pictures. It's like, yeah, I was so tired. I went to bed like at 3 or 4 a.m. 4 or 5 nights in a row. And then I was happy that it was cloudy again. So I didn't have any bad feelings when I went to bed a little earlier. But yeah, that was amazing. The Northern Lights. Iceland is a really good place to see the Northern Lights. Especially in the north, they were like really bright. And even if the forecast wasn't even saying that they were out, but they were still out. So even if the forecast says they're not good, so still look. If it's a clear night, I'll suggest like you still go out and look because it's just an amazing sight to see. So I was really lucky to see them. I don't know if that's normal in the winter time. So also somebody asked me when is the best time to see the Northern Lights, like in the winter, obviously, like on any time from like, I think November until March, I think April is the best time. In the summer, you don't really see them because also in the summer, in Iceland, the light, it doesn't really get dark in the summer because in June, where it's the, like the peak season, it never gets really dark and you need darkness to see the Northern Lights and clear skies. So if anyone wants to see the Northern Lights, definitely go in the winter. I suggest anytime, like between November and March, I think it's a good time to go. But yeah, what other questions were there? Let me see the cost, the total cost. I'll do that last, I'd say. Which company did you use the van for? Oh, Camp Easy, I already said that. Showering, and we covered. Enjoying the most in Iceland, we also covered it. Is it safe? How safe do you feel in the middle of nowhere? Can you do this solo? Absolutely. I think I couldn't think of any other spot where you could feel more safe as an Icelander. As I said, there's only 300,000 people there and there's not really any, I haven't even seen like a lot of police or any crime. I haven't heard of any like crimes in Iceland really. So there's like, if you want to do a solo trip by yourself, I think Iceland is one of the best places to do it because you're on the island, a lot of tourists around. I feel safe like having my camera gear in my car and just leave it there. There's not really any break-ins, I would say. I mean, you never know. Don't take my word for that. But if you like scared of like solo traveling, Iceland is like the best place to do it solo and like camp in the wild because I think like it's one of the safe, like it might be the safest country in the world from my experience. So I never had any issues with like safety in Iceland. So if you want to do that, definitely Iceland would be a good first solo adventure to start. And it's like amazing. Like if you want to experience amazing landscapes, then for sure go for it. Is 1 week enough to see Iceland in summertime? As I said before, like, to see everything, definitely not. As I said, my favorite part of Iceland are the highlands, which are only accessible in summer. And when you want to see them, you can't see everything. If you want to do the ring road, I would say, like, if you want to drive on the whole island and want to see the highlights, I would say at least 10 days. 10 days is a good time, but if you want to include the highlands and we want to go around the whole island, I'd say 2 weeks is good. But it depends what you want to do. Like, if you want to do some hikes, if you want to chill in one spot for a bit and like do some more exploring, then you can even stay longer. But if you want to see the main highlights, I would say 7 days is really pushing it, because you're rushing it from one spot to another, unless you're only doing the south. If you want to see the whole island, we'll drive around, I'd say 10 days is a good day. If you want to include the highlands, I'd say 2 weeks is really, really a good time. So what else is there? Question. Best time to see the aurora? I already covered that. Did I travel with my own car? No. So I rented a car, as I said before. But you can also, I know that a lot of people from Europe, they ship their cars. If they stay there for like a month, I think it's worth it to just ship your car and like take your own car. But in general, like in the summertime, the prices really go up, like compared to the winter. Winter is more affordable for sure for renting cars or a camper van. In the, like, I checked, the prices in the summer are like triple. So winter camping, if you want to save some money, like, go there in the winter, and it's also amazing. Don't get me wrong. Did I work with any tourist boards? No, I just paid for everything for myself. So there's that. And then, can you do it with the kids or family? Yeah, I saw tons of like families doing it with a kid, because you have a camper van. Yeah, there's a, I mean, the campgrounds, yeah, they're always like kid friendly. Like, there's like playgrounds I saw. Like, yeah, definitely Iceland is a place where you can go with your kid or a family. So if you want that, do that for sure. I don't have a ton of experience traveling with kids, but yeah, I think it's definitely possible to do it with a kid. But yeah, what else? Sorry, just take another sip of my water here, because I talked so much for half an hour already. Wow. I usually try to do the podcast about half an hour to 45 minutes to keep it as interesting as possible. But yeah, what is my conclusion about the whole winter camping trip in Iceland? I was actually surprised like how much I liked it, and I was a little scared in the beginning that it was cold and I didn't like it, but I was super warm and super cozy in there in the camper. And I actually enjoyed sleeping in a van. Like, the van life, I don't have a ton of experience with the van life, because usually when I travel around in Canada or like in the US, like a road trip, I just sleep in my Jeep, in my car. And it's not the same, because you pump up a mattress and everybody could see in. There's no coverings in the window. It's not the same as a van. And I really enjoyed staying in there. So I really thought about like getting a van for myself and just travel around with that too. I couldn't do it full time, but might be for road trips, it might be a cool thing. But we'll see what happens. But it definitely sparked my interest a little bit. Even though staying in the really small camper was no problem, me just being by myself, didn't have a problem with not having a shower or a toilet in there. And if you really, really want to save some money, go in the winter. It's, I think it's like 3 times less expensive than in the summertime. And there's also way less people. So one of the campgrounds, or most of the campgrounds I stayed at, there's only like 3 or 4 people, and even 2, and they were massive. So I heard in the summer, you can't even get a spot. So if you want to have ease of going, like not booking in advance, just having not too many people around you, go in the wintertime. Well, the only weird thing I encountered on these campgrounds, like these huge spaces, like huge parking lots, and then every, like, I parked kind of in the corner, and then every person that arrived just parked right next to me. Like, I was like, I don't understand. Like, just park like a little bit away. You don't have to park right next to me. Because yeah, there's so much space around. I also want a little bit of my privacy You know what I mean? But I mean, maybe some people like want to get into conversations, but at this trip, like, yeah, I just felt like, yeah, just give me some space. Like, there's so much space around. But yeah, if you want to have it easy and don't have so many people around, go in the winter, save some money. Oh yeah, so for the money thing, so I, not including the flights, I think I spent around $2,000 or 2,000 euros for 2 weeks, which I think isn't bad. It's like $1,000 a week for Iceland, which is an expensive country. In the winter, you can save a lot. And it was definitely way cheaper than staying in hotels and get a rental car. Because the van, I think it was for 2 weeks, it was $950 just for the van. And then you can have some add-ons, like Wi-Fi was $100 add-on and stuff like that. But if you don't need that, then that's fine. Because when you're from Europe, you can just use your own phone plan, right? Because it's like the roaming doesn't cost anything. So $950 for 2 weeks of you get a car that you can drive around in, and then you get accommodation basically for free. I mean, the campground, sometimes nobody even came, because in the winter, some of these campgrounds, nobody even comes and collects the money. So sometimes I stayed for free. But in general, I'd say like $10 a night, which is nothing. Like a hotel is like 200. So you save so much money on that. And $950 for 2 weeks, you have a car and have accommodations. It's basically, yeah, it's so cheap. And then, I mean, I ate out on the first and the last night. And I got a burger, and then I also got like some flatbread. And it was like around $30 with a beer. So I had a beer and a burger, and that was around $30. And then mostly I ate like pasta and snacks during the day, and bread and cheese. So that saves a lot of money. If you eat out every day, especially like alcohol, I heard somebody say they raised the prices again on 7% of the alcohol like taxes. So if you want to have a party vacation, Iceland is definitely not the place to go, like as all of the northern countries in Europe. But like eating out is also not recommended if you want to save some money. But I just went like, because I went like 12 days with eating pasta and bread, so I needed something different. So I treated myself to a little burger in Reykjavik. But yeah, so like that was around, so I'd say like groceries for the whole trip was like $20 a day. I ate oats and oat milk for breakfast, and then also like not buying the coffee on the road trip and go to coffee shops, that also helps. I made my instant coffee in the morning for breakfast. I usually had instant coffee and then oats with oat milk. That saves a lot of money if you don't eat out or buy your coffee. And then yeah, so for dinner I made pasta with tomato sauce, so that also saves a lot of money. So $20 a day, I'd say. And then like gas is pretty expensive. One tip I have to give you is that it's weird, because they charge in Iceland, they charge you, so like if you fill up the tank, they charge you, I think, like how much was it, like 22,000 kronos. And then like usually how it works here in Canada, you put the amount you authorize the card for, and then you get it back right away. Like if you don't use up the whole amount, $200, and you only use $50, you get the $150 back right away, or it only charges you the $50. In Iceland, I think the first time I filled up, I still haven't gotten that back. I think it takes like up to a month until you get the money back. So if you're like tight on the budget, don't use the fill up function on the gas station. Use the like 1,000 kronos, which is like $40, $50, that you don't run out of money, like if you do that more often. But yeah, gas is expensive there. But $2,000 or euros for 2 weeks vacation, not including the flights, is pretty good for Iceland, I would say. In the summer, that would have been way more, because like I think the camper van in the summer is like triple the price. I think it might be like not triple, but maybe double. So yeah. And I went by myself, so even if I went with another person, like two people, you could split the van. $950 for 2 weeks, that's, if you split it by two, that's even more cheap. So, and you can split the gas as well, so you can save a lot of money there if you go travel with someone else. But even as a solo trip, $2,000 for 2 weeks Iceland, not that bad. And I also want to say, like, if you get like insurance, I would say I didn't get any insurance, and I had like a small chip in the windscreen. They didn't say anything when I returned the car, but I think it's wise to get insurance because there's a lot of like the trucks when they go by, there's a lot of like gravel on the road. I'd say it's really likely to get a chip. I think Iceland is not too, there's not so many accidents because you basically go on like a road in the middle of nowhere. So I think there's not so many accidents, but the windshield is really at risk because like there's like if cars drive by or you're behind a car and you just came out of gravel road, like like your windshield is at risk with the gravel. So I think if you want to get your windshield covered or you have that on your credit card, like a insurance for the windshield, I think that's a good idea. And also maybe the tires, if you go off-roading in the highlands, they might get insurance for there. But yeah, that's some tips I have for you. But yeah, I think that was the podcast. I think I covered all the questions that were asked. And I really, really can recommend the travel in the winter in the van life. And you, if you want to save some money, for sure do it. If you want, don't enjoy it, too many people around. Yeah, I'll only recommend it. It was one of the best trips so far. But I'm happy to be home because... Like 2 weeks van life, that's why I said I can't do it full time because I kind of need my own like bed again. And so, not that it was not uncomfortable, but you know how living on the road is, especially in the cold. Like in the summer, I'd say you're a lot of times outside. In Iceland, I was also a lot of times outside, but like when you get cold, you also sit in the car a lot to warm up. So I'm really happy that I'm like have a bigger space now to chill out and like wash my clothes a lot of like campgrounds also have like washing machines, but I just was too lazy to wash, so now I'm happy that I can wash, like can cook a proper meal because I only made pasta, I can have a good meal again. But for 2 weeks it was an amazing blast. Now tomorrow I'm already going to Costa Rica, so I have to pack for that and organize some stuff, and I'll maybe do another podcast on Costa Rica, some tips and tricks. Let me know if you want to see something of that. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, leave them down in the comments or send me a message on Instagram at Sepik. And I'll see you in the next podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Bye, guys.